Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
What is democracy? Is World War III knocking on our front door? The insanity of queer depravity? And are they killing us with science? All right, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Happy Flag Day and birthday for our president, and I mean the real one, not the usurper. Most of you know I write and produce the Brain Massage Show on Friday, and today is Friday the 14th, Flag Day. How about we take a moment and pledge allegiance to the flag with Red Skelton? Mr. Skelton tells us a little about his background, that he only went to school through the seventh grade, and that he remembers one of his teachers noticing the students were lethargic in their pledge and decided to recite the pledge in a way that would help them understand and personally identify with it, hoping to inspire them to say it with more enthusiasm. So here's Red Skelton.
I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God, Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Thank you, Mr. Red Skelton. Did you ever notice that our pledge is not merely to a piece of cloth, but to the republic for which it stands? Now, it's not a democracy. We don't pledge allegiance to the flag and to the democracy for which it stands. It's a republic, a form of government that is organized under laws. A democracy has been described as government under the mob. Now, before I go into this, and you're going to find this very interesting, I don't deny that there are some elements of democracy in our form of government, but our government is not a democracy. So what is a democracy? Well, it was originally the idea of government answerable to the people, demo or demos, the people, and then the suffix C-R-A-C-Y, a form of government. The expression the people is a little strange. Generally speaking, it does refer to the entire population, but actually, when it comes to exercising the authority of the people, it's always been a defined minority. Now, that has changed over the centuries. Greece is famous for its democratic systems of governance and is usually credited with forming the first examples of democracy. Athens pioneered direct democracy, and Sparta adopted a form of democratically appointed representatives. But the people in Athens were defined as all free adult males. Athenian democracy chose elected representatives that formed an ecclesia or an ecclesia, and that was a governing body of persons appointed from the state or by the state democratically to carry out the business of the people for a term of 1 year. Now, this would be disbanded at the Panegyros, or General Assembly, which was inclusive of all the members of each of the ecclesias, or ecclesias. Jesus used the word ecclesia to identify his church. In Christ's kingdom, the church is an assembly of baptized disciples commissioned under his authority to carry on his business in the earth for the kingdom while we await for his return. At that time, he will call for the gathering of all believers into the general assembly and will form the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. Right now, it's organized as churches, then it will be all one church. Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to his ecclesia, which serve as his headquarters for his kingdom operations on earth. And in the earth, his church or ecclesia is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Believers are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son now, and they are given his spirit to dwell in them and to move through them into the world. When he lights a candle, as when Jesus lights a candle, a believer who's commissioned to give light to the world, he gives his spirit to dwell in that believer, which is the light, the spirit of truth. He places that candle on a candlestick, which he uses to represent the churches in Revelation 1:19-20. The kingdom of God operates in the world today under the superintendency of the Spirit through Christ's disciples who are organized in his headquarters for the kingdom, the ecclesia or the church. Now, of course, that's the true church. The truth shall make us free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So put that all together, friend. And that's how it is that the true church, preaching the truth by the Spirit of God, brought liberty and freedom to America. I'm offering insight into the operations of the kingdom in the world today from my pulpit on Wednesday nights at the Lighthouse. And you're welcome, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Getting back to our discussion of what is democracy. In the world, the word has evolved significantly, let me tell you. As I stated, Athens played around with direct democracy for a while, but it evolved eventually into a tyranny, mostly because of the cumbersome of trying to operate a government with direct democracy. So it eventually became a rule-by-mob type thing, which gave rise to rule-by-privileged classes, like mob bosses, for example, framed into a kind of oligarchy or power vested in the hands of a small band of powerful citizens, and that all one has to do is get in control of that to form a tyranny, which is ruled by whoever has the power to impose his will over the rulers and over the rest of the population. All of this involved how the expression the people was defined and how much influence in government actions the people were allowed to have. In 19th century England, all sufficiently propertied adult males were considered to be the people in terms of exercising the authority of the populace or the people, or we the people. You understand that? So we the people, yeah, that talks about the people, but the people who exercise the authority of we the people has always been a defined minority. And how that's defined is important. In America, this particular aspect of democracy was adopted, that is the participation of the people in selecting the representatives, something in the Roman Republic that was called sortition, that is sorting out by casting lots, and that's not rolling the die, that's casting a vote. In the expression we the people in America referred to the people who exercise the authority of we the people, was defined as all adult males. And that changed later to include all adult males and females when suffrage was passed. Later, the word adult was changed to include all males and females, 18 years old and older. But one thing never changed in all the centuries, and that is, in all cases, citizenship was required. Now, however, we're arguing whether all adult males and females, 18 and over, who have qualified identification comprise the people, exercising the authority of we the people, versus all adult males and females 18 and over, with or without proof of citizenship, as exercising the authority of we the people. The idea is that the majority opinion of qualified population carries the authority of the people. The defined minority of the people stands in for and represents the masses of the people. You get it. Now, our founders did not favor democracy. And the reason is that historically, this form of governance devolves into mob rule, which invariably opens the door to tyranny or allows the tyranny of the mob to trample upon the natural inalienable human rights of the minorities. See, that was the concern. Democracies are wide open for the development of a dictatorship, a man, oligarchy, or a party that has sole control over law, so they act as the law, not as under law, but as being the law. Our founders favored a representative republic. That is a government that operates under law, created, adjudicated, and enforced by individuals elected to office by the people. So they borrowed one element of democracy, and that's the idea of the people choosing the representatives via election and having access to influence over legislators. Now, California allows a little more direct involvement with 10 other states, I believe, in legislative process through what is called voter initiatives or propositions. However, we have noticed that neither our legislature or our judiciary and not even our executive submits to we the people in California. Consistently, when Californians decide on a matter, contrary to what they desire, all of a sudden, it's no more democracy here, friend. And the Democrats are consistently the offenders. For example, when Californians decided that marriage would be between one man and one woman, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, by the way, thumbed his nose at the will of the California voter and issued same-sex marriages in defiance of the people. Legislatures have been resentfully chafing under the restrictions imposed on them by a very popular Proposition 13. And that is right from the day it was passed into law. And the political class continues today to resent it and fight against it. They resist the will of the people when it opposes them. And please keep in mind, it's consistently the Democrats that do that. Some Republicans do it too, but it's like a party-wide deal with the Democrats. The death penalty is another example of this, something the Aristos refuse to honor. The people of California must keep this access to governance, if for no other reason than to provide another important check on the Aristos. It allows us to be heard on issues that they would otherwise ignore forever. In the beginning of this nation under God, Jefferson and Hamilton argued over whether the people should be defined as propertied, Hamilton, or the popular or populace at large, Jefferson. Their debates would sometimes be so intense, George Washington, whom both respected immensely, would have to referee. Hamilton argued once, "Your people, sir, your people is a beast." Jefferson couldn't argue against that. But he said the remedy is not to disenfranchise them from participation in elections and so on, but rather to educate them. Now, I must say that on virtually every other point of disagreement between these two esteemed founders, in this matter, I favor Jefferson's view. However, I don't believe public or government education is the answer. Local church schools are the best answer to this issue. In fact, King Jesus never ordained the government to educate anyone. And Jesus, make no mistake about it, is the ordaining authority that has ordained all power, Romans 13. Because to Jesus has been given all power. That's what Jesus said, if you take his word for it. Okay. The divine charter giving authority to government to act is found in Romans 13:1-6. Nowhere in the divine charter for government does Christ extend to government the responsibility to instruct children. God expressly ordained the parents, and particularly the father, for this task, and he extended this commission to his church. Government education necessarily becomes government indoctrination. If you argue, well, church education becomes church indoctrination, I say, you got that right. What's the difference? Well, you get to pick your church, friend. And of the three, let me ask you this question. Which would you say is doing the best job? Do you like state-sanctioned indoctrination? How's that working out for you? See, home, church, or state, who would do the better job? And who has the most accountability to the fathers bringing their children into the system? What our founders settled on was a representative republic. But the enemies of freedom and liberty have contrived to, in Biden's own bungling words, he put it this way, quote, "We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics," end quote. Now, before you start squealing about he misspoke, he take it out of context. Not take it out of context. I didn't do that at all. It is certain he misspoke. He does that a lot, you know. And it's unlikely this Pope sniffer, did you catch that? Oh my goodness. This liar, plagiarizer, and traitor would knowingly admit this on national broadcast. Yeah, he's a bungling idiot. But listen to this. I'm going to play it for you. And you listen to it. And listen to it in the light of this insight from God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's Jesus, by the way, Matthew 12:34. And then notice how long Biden searches his heart for what to say after he utters the words voter fraud. It's like he can't find anything in his heart to qualify it. Oh, watch. Give this a listen.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
So did you catch that? Yeah, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? I think Jesus just stepped in and said, no, there's nothing here for you, friend. You're just going to have to go ahead and let go of the truth. And friend, this is the death knell of liberty. The loss of the people's right to choose. The entire population cannot in any meaningful way participate in the framing and passing of the myriad of laws. And we'd probably have a lot fewer of them, thank God. That would be a good thing. And with the myriad, I like that word today, of decisions that would be necessary in adjudicating and executing those laws. Therefore, the people appoint representatives that are checked by the ballot box. That's the way the system's supposed to work. The three branches check each other, and the ballot box checks all three. Now, it is slow and cumbersome and sometimes painful, but the recent overturning of Roe is an example of the effectiveness and wisdom of that system. So be patient. Let this thing play out. I mean, get active in it. Don't just sit back and watch. Get involved. That's the whole point of a representative republic. The number one most important and critical check is the ballot box. In all the checks and balances, that one is king, and it has largely been compromised. It's possible to make an argument for saying democracy has today taken another turn in its meaning. This is a very dangerous development. The word has replaced the word republic. You almost never hear America described as a republic. It's always called a democracy. There's a reason for that. This has been going on for so long that you probably think it would be a lost cause to try to change it. You'll be surprised how quickly truth will rebound in the consciousness of the people once the lie is adequately exposed. You see, lies have to be constantly propped up. They have to be constantly worked up to maintain. But the truth has such weight and strength, it just sits there on its own merit and doesn't change. It doesn't move. If we take up the truth and press this advantage that we have with the truth, the lie will evaporate like smoke in a breeze. Democrats think they own democracy, and they have defined it as identical to their party. That, by the way, is a natural progression in any democracy. It becomes defined by a small group within the populace. So what's happened now is saving democracy literally means saving the Democratic Party. You see, the Democrats would ascribe virtue to any act that preserves their party. This is how they do outrageous things that are obviously contrary to justice or judgment or anything like it. And they are audaciously unfair. I mean, if you don't think anything else about what's going on with Trump, it's just unfair. All of that without a tinge of conscience. Why? Well, because it's all done to preserve democracy, the sacred cow of the Democratic Party, democracy. Never mind that, in their own mind, democracy equals the Democratic Party. Everything they have done to Trump is excused in the same way. Atrocities are excused in times of war. The Democrats are at war to preserve the political power of their party. Therefore, nothing is off limits to them. So don't be surprised anymore about how outrageous they are and to what lengths they will go. They will go to any lengths. Please keep that in mind. We've got more to come, friend. They haven't unpacked their whole thing yet. You think it's bad now? It's actually going to get worse. I hate to say that to you. I hate it. I'm living in the same state you are. But God help us. We're gonna have the fight for our lives here, but I believe we're going to win. The Democrat pledges allegiance to a different flag. That's why they hate the flag. Have you noticed? And they replace it with any flag they can. Presently, they want to run up the pride flag. And the pride flag suits them well, by the way. Satan is the king over all the children of pride. Just remember, folks, pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Well, my friend, it looks to me like I've just run through all of my time. Wow. I guess we just got on a roll here. I do want you to set aside June the 25th, 5 to 7 p.m., at the Seacrest Pacific Banquet Room, 2241 Price Street in Pismo Beach. I put it on my calendar, and I hope to see you there. June 25th, at the Seacrest Pacific Banquet Room, 5 to 7 p.m. Here's Terry France, owner-operator of the Senior Care Authority franchise for the Central Coast. She'll tell you more about it.
Senior Care Authority is an elder care consulting company that specializes in placements in assisted living, memory care, independent living, that kind of thing. But one of the things that we have that's signature to our company is a program called Beyond Driving with Dignity. The creator of that program is Matt Gerwell, and he'll be coming on Tuesday, June 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. in Pismo Beach. Beyond Driving with Dignity is the name of the program. It was developed to help bring a peaceful solution to the complex, sensitive, and emotional senior driving issue when that senior gets to the point where they possibly should be giving up their driving. And it's a horrible thing for the senior because they feel like they're giving up their independence. However, the beauty of our program is that it helps the senior to kind of stay in the driver's seat, so to speak, in their mind, because they're getting to make the decision. Our program that evening is called Sips, Snacks, and Solutions for Seniors, and we'll be focusing on our Beyond Driving with Dignity program, 2241 Price Street, Pismo Beach, in the parking lot of the Seacrest Hotel, the banquet room underneath the Blast and Brew. My phone number is 805-299-1211, and my email is Terry, T-E-R-R-I, at seniorcareauthority.com.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I'm in a little bit of a hurry here. I've only got a few minutes. Is World War III knocking on our front door? Russia has deployed a fleet of Navy warships to Havana, and today its nuclear-powered cruise missile submarine to Cuba for joint war exercises. I mean, this is the sub that NATO has worried about for years, quote-unquote. Russian cruise missiles platformed 60 miles off Florida's coast on a super-class submarine floating under the Russian flag. Knock, knock. And our Navy answers the knock, sends out three destroyers and air surveillance to watch over things. The Helena, a U.S. nuclear-class submarine, is now docked at Guantanamo, our U.S. base on the Cuban island, for a routine inspection, we're told. That was planned before the U.S. knew about Putin's deployment. The United States says that if the Russian flotilla heads for Venezuela, as expected, our Navy will be following. Well, this is just great. Our military, busy preparing not for war with Russia or China, but with us, a culture war. In which the queer agenda is driving the military. Social change experiments going on, experimenting on our soldiers with questionable mRNA vaccines and using our soldiers to test experimental lab-grown meat. No, what can go wrong there, right? Gates is the one who put that together. We have Rachel Levin and Lloyd Austin standing at the helm at this critical juncture in our history. Also, the issue of Ukraine and Taiwan comes into view. Putin offers a truce. Lloyd Austin dismisses it. China launches a new drill that's encircling Taiwan. All this is going on at the same time. Meanwhile, our Secretary of Defense is busy promoting Rachel Levin as the face of our Navy. Anybody see a problem with this? I mean, besides me? The insanity of queer depravity. Okay, two stories I'm done for today. Los Angeles, along Sunset Strip, I think that's where this went on. No time to check it out here. The article's linked in my notes. The city removed two U-turn signs because the queers protested that these signs were put there as an act of discrimination against them to control trolling for pickups along the strip. Of course, you dig a little deeper and you find out what you expect to find out. The reason they were put up is because they were impeding traffic. You know, back when mostly straight people lived and trafficked the street and would like to kind of get down the street without being exposed to the public spectacle of queer antics and congested traffic. Yeah, this whole thing of what you do in your bedroom is our business is one thing. But what you do on our streets is something different, friend. They have done the same thing to discourage dons trolling for prostitutes, for straight guys, by the way. When is this insanity going to stop? Well, I'll tell you when. Idaho's leading the way. Actually, several states are beginning to push back against this insanity. But way to go, Idaho! Idaho passed a law prohibiting teachers from using a child's preferred pronoun that does not align with their biological gender without parental permission. The left goes bananas and protests. This requires teachers to misgender students, when, of course, the opposite is true. This protects teachers from being forced to misgender students, and it protects the parental rights of students in their schools. Idaho's on a roll. It passed laws banning gender-affirming care, abolishing the right to change your legal gender, along with the protection of parental rights, as I mentioned, and the teacher's free speech rights, by the way. When will the queer insanity stop? When we act like the salt and light we're supposed to be and stop it. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 805-314-2114 and come on out for Father's Day. We have a special day planned and look forward to having you with us. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Call 805-314-2114.